If you have your Bible, would you open it to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew chapter 11. We'll start with verse 1. And when Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me." This began a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples about John. John is an interesting, attractive man of God. Later, Jesus will say of those born of woman, there is none greater than John. He would tell the disciples, why did the cities empty and everybody went out in the wilderness? Well, they went to see John. They went to see a prophet. Every now and then, we try to do this introductions to these people in a little different format. So tonight, if you'll put your imagination hats on, let's go ahead and do it, okay? And we're going to imagine that the messengers that came to Jesus have just gone back and have just reported to John. Things are not good for John. We know that it won't be long and Herod will have his head. Or Herod's girlfriend will have his head. And we know that his life is about over. When Jesus gets word that his life was over, Jesus went into a wilderness to pray. I want us to imagine that scene. Maybe a guard has seen the messengers come and gone, and he hears a lot of conversation, and he hears noises coming from his cell. He notices it started with cries and wails and prayers and praise, and he's curious. And he comes over and he says, "You there, what's your story? What is all of this?" And then John might have answered him. I'm John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. My father was a priest. My mother was barren. They were elderly. He was really excited, he tells me, that he had the opportunity to serve in the temple. There were more priests than there were jobs, and so sometimes it would be months, maybe even years, before you would get that opportunity to be the one to go in and burn the incense and make the daily prayers. And it was his turn. Mother told me that he dressed up for the occasion, put on his best tunic, and he was real excited, made make sure everything was just right. They loved God a lot. And even though they were old and lonely and knew they would never have a child, they put all of their attention into serving God faithfully. He believed every promise and attempted to obey every commandment. No one could find anything wrong with him. His friends called him blameless, which was rare in this day and time. While he was in the middle of performing his priestly duties, an angel appeared. Now, that hasn't happened often to anybody. And it'd been a long time since God had made very many conversations or appearances or prophetic utterances to the people. Decades had passed. And there is an angel. Dad told me, when an angel shows up, you know it. And there he was. And he told him that you're going to have a son. Your wife is going to bear a son, and his name's going to be John. And you're going to raise him up special. He'll be a Nazarite. He won't drink any wine. He will be totally dedicated to the Lord. My father was afraid, and he began to wonder, and he began to wonder out loud. Especially the part about this young man will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Dad wondered, and then he questioned, and then he argued a little. The angel told him that it doesn't matter how old you are or how old she is, this is God's will. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It wasn't that my dad didn't believe him. It was just more than he could imagine at that particular moment. And he said one thing too many, and the angel said, well, here's a sign. You won't say another word until he's born. And he didn't. He was in there a long time, and everybody knew something was up. And when he came out and he couldn't talk, and he made motion and he wrote a note that he had met with an angel. And word went out, and everyone began to talk about it. When I was born, 8 days after my birth, and they were about to have me circumcised, it was time for a name. Everyone had already decided the name would be Zachariah in honor of my father. But my mother said, no, his name will be John. They began to argue with her and said, nobody in your family's named John. Why are you picking John of all things? And my father got real agitated, and he motioned for a tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And when they asked him why, he started talking. It'd been building up in him, I guess, because he talked and he talked and he told the story a couple of times. And he began to bless God and he began to talk about it. And he began to talk about how God had made a plan. And he moved from just telling a story to God was speaking through him. He was filling the role of a prophet himself. And everybody knew something was afoot. He said things like, blessed be the Lord. He has delivered redemption, and he has raised the horn of salvation. Word went out. One of the things that the neighbors said was, what will this child be? And God is certainly at work in this family. Well, I grew up. I grew up strong, and I grew up strong in the Spirit. I spent most of my time outside. Eventually in the wilderness, I ate what I could find. I wore clothes until they fell off of me, so I usually wore rough clothes, the kind you would spend if you were outside, clothes made out of camel hair and leather. I spent that time studying the Word and talking to God and Him talking to me. I had one sermon and no miracles. And yet I was called to be a prophet. I would say it a little different, but the sermon was the same. The Lord is coming, and He's coming soon, and you're not ready. They would say, well, what do we need to do to get ready? And I would tell them, you need to quit robbing people. You need to quit lying to people. You need to start sharing with the poor. You need to turn your life around. I use the word repent so much, some children would say repent when I walked past them. I preached it, and I preached it, and something started happening. Without a miracle, without any gimmicks, without, I certainly wasn't anything to look at, people started coming. It was like there was a cool breeze blowing through the wilderness. It was like when you find a spring of cool water on a hot day, and it was happening around the country. There were words of other things, amazing things happening. They emptied cities. They let school out. People put out for a while on their signs up front of their businesses, and they came out to hear the same sermon again and again because it was the Word of God. Repent. kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, he has come. People also came to interview me, and they want to know, what are you doing? Who are you? And I said, I've got work to do. I haven't got time for this. And they said, are you the Christ? And I said, oh, no, I'm not the Christ. I couldn't pick up his shoes. I'm certainly not him. Well, then, are you Elijah? I need to tell you, sir, that there's some of the prophecies had gotten so mixed up with people. They thought Elijah the Tishbite was coming back. And so those prophecies about Elijah, you couldn't say them without them misunderstanding. I said, no, I'm not him. And they said, well, then are you the prophet? They had taken another group of the prophecies. I said, no, I'm not him. And they said, well, who are you then? I said, do you remember that prophecy about the voice crying in the wilderness? That's me. My job is to get things ready. You know, if a king is coming, you've got to get things ready. And it was hard work. It was like cutting brush, and it was like filling in ravines. It was like moving mountains to get things ready. But instead of cutting brush and moving trees and filling in ravines, I was trying to get us ready. Because we were too sinful. We were not ready for the Redeemer. And we were going to have to change our ways. We were going to have to take God at His word. We were going to have to start living the Ten Commandments. We were going to have to turn our life around. And that's what I kept. And I would take the people, I did most of it down by the river. And I would take people down there and I would baptize them. And this would be a day that they would remember, the day they decided to repent and turn back to God. I told him, I'll know him when I see him. You're not ready yet. You need to repent. You need to get ready. People kept coming. Same sermon. No miracles. I baptized so many, I don't know how many. And one day he came. I knew him. And I knew he was a better man than me. And I knew he knew God. And I knew he didn't need to repent. I argued with him about baptizing him. I guess it runs in the family, arguing with God. I told him, you need to baptize me. He put his arm around my shoulder and he looked me in the eye and he said, we need to do this. It's God's will. We'll fulfill all righteousness. I'd been told that when the Messiah comes, you will know him. God told me that there would be a special sign. The Holy Spirit would come down out of heaven, and it would descend like a dove flying down, and the man that it rested on, that was him. And that day, before we got out of the river, the heavens opened up like a crack in the sky, and through it comes the Holy Spirit. And he descended and he landed on Jesus. And I knew. From that day on, every time I saw him, I said the same thing. There is the Lamb of God, the one who's come to take away the sins of the world. I still preach to repentance. I still baptize people. I still try to get them ready. But it's so close now, he's already here. And he surprised all of us. There he was. His ministry grew. Mine got smaller. Some people wondered if I was angry about that. And I said, no. This is my job. My job was not his job. I tried to explain it to people. And I would say, you know, it's like if you are the best man at a wedding. And this is your best friend getting married. Are you jealous because everyone's talking to him and looking at him and giving him presents? Of course not. That's how I felt. Every chance I got, I would send someone to him. And if someone left me and they would say, I'm sorry, believe me, this is where you need to be. My job will be getting smaller, his will be getting greater. Preaching, pointing, and they left me. Many, many people repented. Many more didn't. Herod was one of those who didn't. Seemed he took exception to the fact that I told him the Ten Commandments forbids you coveting another man's wife. It also forbids you committing adultery. And I don't know how many other things he had done. But he took really, well, actually it was Herodias that took most of the objection. And that's why I'm here. Been here a while. I'm used to living in the woods, in the wilderness. I'm used to seeing the sky. I'm used to watching the river. I'm used to not having distractions. I'm ashamed to tell you that recently I began to wonder, was I on the wrong track? Had I Have I missed it? Should I have been looking for someone else? Is there really any point to my life? Finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. My prayers were messed up. Seemed like all I thought about is I wonder. I sent some of my men, my friends who still were with me, brought me food and came to see me occasionally. I said, would you go find out? They came back and they told me that Jesus told them, he told them that the blind see and the lepers are cleansed and the lame walk. And the deaf hear, and the poor have the good news preached to them. How could anybody in one statement like that quote so many scriptures? They're all through the prophets. Those very words, especially those about the poor. And then for me personally, he said, and blessed are those who don't take offense at me. He was talking about my doubting. He was talking about my questioning. I never was offended. I thought I'd messed up. But I'm happy now. And I'm grateful that with all that he has to do and all that he has to face and all the work that he has, he loved me enough to tell me exactly what I needed to hear. I don't know what else God has planned for me, but they're having a party over in the palace. I hear Herod's niece is going to do some sort of a nasty dance. So I don't imagine they'll do anything tonight. But there's no telling what that fox has planned for me. But it doesn't matter. I've been on the right track. I've been on the right foot. And young man, I would like to tell you one thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you're not ready. Doesn't matter if you're a soldier. Repent. Quit robbing people. Repent. It's nearer than it's ever been. If you need to repent, this is the time. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?